God is great and worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Somewhere the sun's always rising, somewhere it's always going down. But the word of God is, it's amazing. And you know, it's funny how God will use even some of the terrible things in life to bless him. Some of the things you're going through right now, I promise you, I know it sounds like I'm just talking, but I remember when life felt so horrible, I did not want to keep living. And I was locked up and locked away from everything that was good, and I had nothing but this word of God. And you know what is amazing to me? It's amazing to me that I get in the word of God and I would just be transported to different places and times. I'd be transported into the presence of God. And I would start to see God in a way that it would start to become real to me. And it would be years until I really just started truly walking with the Lord. But I realized submitting to him is in phases, and it was starting the process of submitting to his will. It would take people teaching me how to honor God properly. Those who had gone down the path further than me, instructing me and lifting me up. And it's an unbroken chain of, as you get into the word of God, the Holy Spirit builds it up in you, if you're a Christian, that is. And I was a Christian, but I wasn't living according to God's word. And it's older, wiser saints, not always older, but wiser saints, more mature, lifting you up. And as you're lifted up, you turn around and you end up lifting someone else up. And it's this unbroken chain that goes all the way back to God himself. It's God doing the work through us, through the Holy Spirit, making us aware of who he is, his attributes, his love, and then filling us with the power, the Holy Spirit, the ability to carry it out. The Holy Spirit will make you feel some things. It will make you not go after some things. It will make you unsatisfied with some things. It'll also make you act right. It'll make you love the things of God. It'll make you love the people of God. It'll make you love the order that God has created. He's created things in a certain order for a certain purpose. You will desire the orderliness of God, the truth of God. You will want things that you didn't want before. And you'll also hate things that you used to crave and desire before. The mark of Christian maturity isn't that you always meet the mark. It's that even when you don't meet the mark, you acknowledge what the mark is. King David loved God. It said he was a man after God's own heart, but he was a murderer and he was an adulterer after knowing God. But when the prophet, the man of God, came to him, didn't he acknowledge it? Didn't he acknowledge his sin? Didn't he repent? He had consequences to pay, but he agreed with God. Every man of God, woman of God, that's talked about greatly in this book, what you'll find is there are very, very few that have ever been where you don't see sin attached to them in some great way, especially the men. And what you'll also find is that they're really judged based on how they react to what God has said. Do they believe God? Do they have faith in God? Do they have faith in his word? Do they place trust in who God said he is? Do you? You see, that's the heart of righteousness, not religion. It's not always checking each box, doing each thing perfectly. I always do this and I make it this way. You can't. You know what religion does? Religion makes you mean. It makes you tired. It makes you angry because you're always trying to keep this rule. It's a burden. It's heavy, and you cannot keep it. That's the whole point of religion.
or the law. The law shows you, you can't keep the law. No one keeps the law. The ancient Israelites, the Hebrews, who were given the law, didn't keep the law. They couldn't keep 10 commandments. And so they ended up making by Jesus, they had hundreds of commands. You can't keep the law. And God has said since the beginning, I know you can't keep the law. The law is to show you, you need something greater than the law. And that is Jesus. Jesus shows up all throughout the Old Testament. God, Jesus, Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh, Adonai are names, are titles, are attributes, are references to the very God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, Jesus Christ. Some would say Jesus is not God. And in the Old Testament, we can see that Jesus is God based on one evil man named Balaam. Listen to this, and we'll break it down. Numbers 22, starting at the 20th verse. Listen to this. It says, that night, God came to Balaam and said, since these men have come to summon you, go with them, but do only what I tell you. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, it turned off to the road into a field. Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path through the vineyards with the walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and he was very angry and beat it with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Balaam answered the donkey, you have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. May God have a blessing to the rehearing and doing of his holy word. So we've already talked about this. We talked about how Balaam was, he was not right. So few people have ever had this close encounters with God. So few. But what makes him so evil, because everyone's evil, everyone's unrighteous, but what makes him so intensely evil, he had this much upfront knowledge of God. He had this upfront outstanding amount of contact with God. God used him so many times, so much, which you'll see if you keep reading the story down the road, you'll see God used him to even make messianic prophecies of Jesus Christ and who he would be. Talked about the nation of Israel. God used him to bless the people of Israel 4 different times. God came to him at night. God talked to him just like the other prophets. The difference is Balaam never had a heart, an internal heart change. He did obey God at times because God was physically making him obey. God doesn't want to physically make you obey. He can. Sometimes he does. But you understand, God looks in on the heart. That's why religion will never get you into a right relationship with God. You can be as religious as you want to be. You can be at church every time the church doors open. You can be doing the most. You can dress the part, whether it suits, whether you're in full hijab and headdress and only your eyes are showing. We were at the beach in D.C. We saw a young lady with nothing. You couldn't see anything but her eyes while her husband and son were playing in the water park, having a great time. whatever, however you try to do it. Your religion, there's tons of religions. Who cares? If you are in the LGBTQ hashtag whatever agenda, that's a religion. It's gone past. It's not, none of it, most of it is not scientific. It's all, it's a religion. It's a faith system. It's a religious belief. And we can see that in the text. If you go on further, you'll see in the, all throughout the Old Testament, pagan practices and idolatrous practices were putting, it's idolatry when you put anything over God. They worship idols. Worshiping the idol of sexual identity, it's idolatry. You've put it before God. And then you'll just try to mingle God stuff into it. But it's all religion. God says, I want a right relationship with you. Whether you claim to be a pastor and you're sleeping around or stealing money, oh, it happens. Whether you're a teacher and, listen, evil is evil is evil is evil is evil. We don't care what type of evil it is. We're all messed up. That's the point of the Bible. No one are good. There are none righteous. No, not one. Including you, pastor. Including me. I'm looking in the mirror. You understand? The word of God is like trying to hold a sword with no sheath, with no hilt. It's just, it cuts you up because you're guilty. We're guilty. I'm guilty. We're not good people who sometimes mess up. We're terrible people who sometimes do good. Even the best Christian you know. And you know what's really funny? Is when you meet people who are really just wonderful people from a human standpoint, who are really leaders and mature. When you meet people who really impress you with their godliness, not religiosity, not churchianity, with just the core of who they are, has been so saturated with God that it helps you become more godly. Just their conversations, the people you go to when you need a prayer, the people you admire for the way they react to certain things and obstacles, and they just always point you to God just by their conduct. You know what's funny? If you ask them, they're very unimpressed with themselves. You may be impressed with them, but when they think about themselves and maybe the things you don't know, they're unimpressed because God is the standard and no one meets the standard. Walking with God in right relationship means I acknowledge that I don't meet standard. God, I need you. Lord, do it for me. And that's what Christianity is. It's the unreligion. It says, I can't do anything about anything. God, you have to do it for me. It's God coming down to a man. It's always God coming to a man. Even in this story, did you notice? God came to Balaam. Balaam was a wicked dude, wicked, pagan, idolatrous sorcerer. He should have been killed immediately. And God didn't. And it's almost comical, and you can get so muddled up in details. But so the story, this real true life event, this is not a fairy tale. It's not even a parable. This is a real person. These are real events because it uses proper first names. Okay? Listen, what he does is God forced him and told him directly, you are not to go. But his heart wasn't right, so he asked God again. Do you know God will sometimes allow you because he knows what your heart really wants? He'll allow it. He won't just strike you dead. He said, all right, go, but don't curse the people. Wouldn't let him curse the people. And you'll find out down the road, he finds a way to disobey God and try to weasel in through a technicality of making the people. He can't curse the people, but he makes them disregard their blessing. Oh, it's very wicked. But in this instance right here, you know what's amazing to me? First off, we really have to understand the angel of the Lord. We can make this about the donkey and we can make this about Balaam. But please don't miss the angel of the Lord. This is not an angel. Many of the angels have names. And the Michael, Gabriel, there are angels with names in the Bible. This angel, it shows up multiple times throughout the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ incarnate. Or let me get this. The angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ before he incarnated himself into a body in the New Testament. You see, God is outside of time. God is also not limited to our limitations. God is a plurality. You see, okay, check this out. Okay, let me break this down to the actual Hebrew. You see, Elohim, in verse 22, it says that Balaam got up in the morning, or it says that, but God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord, but God. Okay, and so it says God, and it says the angel of the Lord. So they have to be two different people, right? No. You see, God is the word Elohim, okay? Elohim is in Strong's Hebrew, it's 430. It's plural. It can mean rulers, judges, divine ones, angels, little g gods. It's a plural intensive singular, meaning God, goddess, godlike ones. So that's a generic name for God. Elohim can be a generic name for God, but it can also mean God. It's the same way how you can say, oh my God, which you shouldn't, but you can. You don't really mean, oh my Jehovah, do you? When you say, oh my God. That's why in the Bible, you'll see sometimes little g God, and you'll see big g God. Elohim, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word Elohim is used, which means, in this case, the God of the Bible. But it's not using his designated title, first name. Okay? It'd be like saying Charles without saying my full name. It'd be like saying Charles instead of saying Charles William Warren Jr., son of Charles William Warren Sr., who lives on such and such block. It is saying God, and it's saying the right God, but it's not using the specific. We know, because we know the story, because we know the context, we know that it means the God of the Bible. But the name isn't extremely specific. It says, but God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord, okay, so who is this angel of the Lord? So we know it was God because it's Elohim, the same word for God created the heavens and the earth. So then you see the angel of the Lord, which is Melech, Yahweh. Okay, angel, when it's used in this phrase, when it's used this way, it means messenger, representative, a messenger, angel, the theophanic angel. Okay, and Yahweh is God's proper name. So this is the angel of Yahweh, the messenger of Yahweh, not a messenger of Yahweh, the messenger, the angel, the sent one, the ambassador of Yahweh. Yahweh, Jehovah. Again, you can get into the Greek and the Hebrew. You can get into the details of this. Yahweh is the covenant name of God for his people, okay? The reason why you hear a lot of Jews that would say Jehovah and you see Jehovah, whenever you see Jehovah, you can also use Yahweh. The reason why is because they felt it was so, God was so holy, we should not even use his name that way. We should not use Yahweh. It's too holy to even pronounce. So they inserted words to make it Jehovah. But it means the same first name of God. It means the specific God, the I am that I am, Adonai, the master. It means the existent, the self-existent one who exists outside of time and who is everywhere, who is omniscient. It is the God of the Bible. It is the God of the Jews, It is the God of the Hebrew Israelites, of the Hebrews, whether you want to call them Israelites, whether you want to call them, it is the God, the only God. And his first name, you understand? Yahweh. Jehovah. It is Jesus, the angel of the Lord, is Jesus before he came through the birth canal of Mary, before he created a body and lived in it. He came and showed up in the Old Testament. Do you understand? God didn't just, this entire time he had been showing them the whole message of the Bible. You can preach salvation by faith alone, in God alone, in the Old Testament before Jesus actually incarnated himself. He said what he was going to do, but they didn't understand. They're still trying to keep the law. And God allowed that faith in what God said. It's always been by faith. People are always only saved by faith in God. But do you have the right God? Is your faith according to your relationship with God and his word? Or is it faith in yourself? You can have faith in keeping the law. And many did. And they never kept it. They showed their faith by sacrificing, by their rituals, by trying to adhere to God's rules and laws. And God said, you're not going to do it right, but just the fact that you're trying, I'll be enough. I am the sacrifice. I am the embodiment and the fulfillment of the law. The reason why Christians are not condemned under the law is because God has already paid the penalty for the law. He's already paid the penalty, the death penalty. You want to see it? Here it is. Do you see the angel of the Lord, right? This is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus, the second member of the Trinity. There's God the Father. There's God the Son, Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. And then there's the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes the Holy Spirit would come and it would hover over things. It would rest on a person and then leave. And then after Jesus' sacrifice, he's opened the door so the Holy Spirit can live inside of a person. God would come and he would come in the form of an angel, and he would do special miraculous things. And then he would come eventually to fulfill his mission as a person, as a man, as a perfect sacrifice, and be executed for our sins. That's what Christianity is. And so this angel of the Lord, he's showing us this through this story. Do you see what happens? He was a wicked sorcerer. Balaam was unrighteous from his hair down to his feet. He was already, when this started, he already had a reputation for being a wicked, pagan, idolatrous sorcerer. Hashtag wicked, okay? Not routinely wicked, extremely wicked. God comes to him, and instead of him saying, Lord, whatever you say, that's enough. You came to me, I'm done with this. You know what he does? He says, well, Lord, I mean, come on, can I go? I mean, because, you know, I can. And God knows everything. He allows him to go. That doesn't mean he likes it. God will allow you to do sin. Y'all, this whole abortion issue, do you understand? God allows certain things. It is your body. It's also another body, but you're carrying it. So I can't tell you what to do with it. But God can, and he's told you what to do. You don't have to obey God. Me legislating this isn't going to change your heart. I can make it more difficult for you. I'm never going to sign off on anything that makes this easy. I'm a preacher. What do I look like putting my hand in a hot bag of poo? No, that's disgusting. Why would I allow this? Why would I take part in this? I can't believe that Christian people would somehow twist this up. But the point is, you do whatever you want to do. but there are consequences. Balaam, God said, okay, go. I'm taking my hands off of this, is what he's saying. I'm going to back up, but understand there's consequences. And the angel of the Lord shows up. You say, well, God is, which one, which God is it? Yes, it's both. You see, God is absolutely holy and righteous. He is a judge. He must punish sin. He will punish sin because that's what a good God does. But when should he do it? Because grace and mercy says, give him another chance, Lord. It's God telling God, hold on, Lord, just give him one more time. Give him time to repent. And God says, we're perfect. We know this person. We know if they're going to repent or not. And that's what time is. Time is a little bit of creation that God has for us to make a decision. But God says, well, here, let me give you a taste of my goodness. I'll show you who I am. Love me. Be with me. Let me save you. And Balaam shows how we respond to that. He had already met God. He had already pretended to be about God's business. And you know what happened? He went with God. Physically, he kept saying the right words, but his heart was far from God, like many of us. So guess what happens after that? The angel of the Lord says, I'm going to slay him. I'm going to slay him. He has no spiritual discernment. He's playing with the things of God. He's playing with powers he has no idea of. How dare he not serve me? And you know what the angel of the Lord does? The angel of the Lord is God's righteousness. You see, it has his sword drawn, right? That'd be like today having a pistol on somebody, right? Same difference. He's going to use it. And you know what's funny? If you look, God still chose mercy to this evil, wretched dude who should have been killed. You know why? Because it's God who allowed the donkey to see him, knowing that the donkey would instinctively save his own skin, that the donkey by his nature would protect his master. The donkey is more righteous than the man is. The donkey in his natural habitat with his natural God-given senses honors life more than the evil, wretched, fake prophet, false prophet. That's why, y'all, the most natural thing in our world, if this is just about natural processes, life is good. Anything that destroys life and kills life is bad, right? So our pro-profit abortion industry that's selling baby parts, that has historically shown that it's a history of racism, that's historically shown that it's in Black and Hispanic neighborhoods, that's for-profit, that's making billions off of what is the most wretched, disgusting thing ever, that's part of Baal worship, because that's what they were doing at the height of it. Was sexual sin that was tied in, the ultimate height of it, was sacrificing their children on the altar to pagan gods. Why do you think it's different? That's what Baal represents. And you know what God does for this wicked, evil person? He gives him another chance. The donkey understood the importance of life, but the prophet didn't. Are we in that spot right now? Are we here? Think about it. Do you realize three times the donkey saw what God was doing and didn't want no part of that, understood by natural senses what was going on better than Balaam did? Y'all, is that us? That's the height of religion. And I'm going to tell you something. You see, you may need to understand that religion always kills right relationship with God. Religious people have turned so many people off towards the real things of God. People who will tell you, you can only read the King James Bible. Why? None of it was written in English. It was written in Greek and Hebrew. Why would you tell me I can only read one translation? In fact, when I learned more, if I looked at the different ones, I look at the Greek and the Hebrew, and then I get a better understanding by putting it in a language that I use. I don't use King James English. But you can't tell some people that. You can't tell some people that because I'm in a t-shirt, even though it says Jesus, if you knew how many people stopped me about this Jesus t-shirt, because you can't unsee Jesus. They can look past your suit. They don't know if you've been to a business meeting or what. Y'all, suits don't mean a thing. Neither do your clothing. God doesn't care. He looks on the inward parts. Do you understand? This whole thing is not about you. It's about God. Are you adhering to a right relationship with God? Religion kills relationship. And you know what? A right relationship will kill religion. You won't have to feel like I have to do it this way. I'm not scared of God's punishment and wrath. You know what I'm scared of? I'm scared of just not being available to use by God. I'm scared of not living up to my potential because my own, it's not even a fear of death. It's, Lord, I want to be used. I don't want to spend my life on Facebook. I don't want to spend my life being a Republican or a Democrat. I don't want to spend my life spinning my wheels on dumb stuff. When I get to heaven, there'll be no regrets. There'll be no sorrow. But I think the only thing you can think of is, what could I have done if I had really put my mind, if I had really served God? And I don't even think we'll be so focused on God, because it's all God. But y'all, don't waste your Christian life. If you are a Christian, don't waste it doing religious stuff. I know some people who I believe are saved, but they're caught in the trap of a religious works-based salvation. They're caught in the trap of trying to keep themselves saved. You can't do any of that. You can't lose your salvation. You're either saved or you're not. You're either walking in a relationship with God or you're not. The evidence of walking with God is that the further you walk, the more you're walking with God. Not that you don't ever stray from the path, but that you're always getting closer and closer to God. As we close, listen to this. You know it's a real trip? Balaam shows that he understands what righteousness is. He simply doesn't want God's righteousness. He understands the concept of punishment, of consequences. He understands the concept of a master and a servant. It says, if you read it in the beginning, he has two of his servants with him. He's their master. He runs it. They're following behind him. That's his donkey. He understands he owns the donkey. He understands the difference between I'm in charge and I'm following the leader. But oddly enough, God creates the whole universe. He has already come to Balaam. He has already shown that he is God, that he's a very present God, that he has already given him commands, and he won't serve God, but yet is mad at the donkey for not doing what he wants. And he says, if I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you. Do you see the irony that God has a sword in his hand and should kill Balaam? Do you see that? It's messed up. Balaam doesn't see the angel yet. He says, look, it says right here. It says in verse 29, he says, Balaam answered the donkey, you have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. The angel of the Lord is holding a sword, ready to kill Balaam right now because he refuses to honor God. God is saying, I should destroy you. I should not give you another moment of life. I should cut you out like cancer. You're only going to spread. And God's mercy and grace. God's mercy says, give him another chance. God's grace says, hold back what you should give him, which is your wrath and rage. Hold it back, Lord. Give him something positive, another chance. Don't give him something negative, your wrath. Don't give him the sword. God's love says, yes, you deserve this, but I'll give you time to repent. I'll give you another chance. He's already given him like 4 or 5 chances in this text already. If I had a sword, I'd kill you right now. You've made a fool of me. Balaam, you made a fool out of yourself. You're clowned all throughout the Bible for getting rebuked by a donkey. Do you notice? Hey, Balaam. Hey, bro. Listen, let me talk to you. Let me holler at you, man. I'm a donkey and I'm talking and you don't even seem to notice it. This ain't Shrek. This is real life. This is a donkey talking to the man, and he's flashing on the donkey like, man, I ought to kill you. And you know what's funny? God is saying, you fool, you understand it in a human term. This isn't about your understanding. You just ain't gonna do it. Y'all, Christians, God has written into the DNA. He's written his word in our hearts. He's written his precepts into nature, into the natural laws, so that men are without excuse because we can see God by the natural order of things. Sometimes we get sidetracked into trying to think that they don't understand. They don't want it. God has to renew their hearts. We will never win trying merely to legislate morality. We can pass as many laws as we want. You know what happened when we passed laws about prohibition of liquor? Robber barons popped up and we made them rich. Bootleggers and moonshiners. People are going to do whatever they want to do. We can't really stop them unless we change hearts and minds. That is relationship, not religion. Religion says, no, stop, don't. Right relationship says, follow me. I'll fix you up. I'll take the Newports away from you. I'll take that drink out your mouth. In fact, some of y'all probably need a drink every once in a while. Oh, Jesus did. Jesus drank wine. You never saw him drunk, though. But God will individually tell you what you should and should not do. He will make certain you're always in order. And you know, the first person, when you're walking with God, before anyone tells you what's out of order, he tells you directly. I know when I ain't talking to someone right because that Holy Spirit won't let me get away with it. I know when I'm having a thought that's unclean because the Holy Spirit won't let me get away with it. I have a relationship with the creator of the universe, Yahweh, with Adonai, with Jehovah, with Elohim. Do you understand? The God of the universe is a singular masculine pronoun. He describes himself as in a singular masculine way because he created gender. Because it helps show who he is. He created this in a way. Everything goes back to God. Male and female, he created them. Do you understand? When you decide, I don't want God, everything else falls apart. We're confused right now and befuddled because everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Oh, I'm sorry, that's what the Word of God said they did. We're not doing what's right in our own eyes, are we? We don't have little boys who want to be little girls, but who still want to play on girls' teams. And it's so bizarre now, you can't even keep up with it. It's just asinine. We don't have a murder rate that's going through the roof, but we're saying, let's make it easier to get more powerful weapons. And you shouldn't even have to have a check system of checks and balances. I'm trying to keep a straight face. I hope you get the sarcasm. Y'all, Democrat, Republican, the law is never going to fix the heart. The heart, a right relationship with Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, the God of gods, the only wise and existing God, the Ancient of Days, yo, the I am that I am. It's all God or it's nothing. And you cannot jump through enough hoops to make him pleased. You have to just accept him. You have to accept his love. He wants a hug. He wants to be with you. And if you truly are living according to God's will, you know what's going to happen? What's going to happen is you're going to become more and more uncomfortable not living according to his will. You're going to desire the word of God more and more. You're going to keep growing. God is going to discipline you when you're not right. You're going to keep on growing and living and learning, and you're just going to be more. And you're also going to get hated for it. You see the donkey? You see how the donkey got beat three times? Got beat three times. That man was, he was doing the right thing, wasn't he? He was living right, wasn't he? He was just a regular donkey, just carrying a load, doing whatever he was supposed to be doing. And for him trying to save his master's life for doing the right thing, he got abused. Ain't that a mess? Y'all get used to it. Get ready for it. That's what's going to happen. The story of Balaam can show us so much about God, can show us so much about the Christian experience and godliness. As we close, really quick, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" God knew his heart wasn't right. God kept giving him chance, kept giving him chance, and he gave him more and more chances after this. It goes on and on how many chances he gave him. But eventually, those chances run out. Eventually, God says, enough is enough is enough, and it's time to draw the sword. And then it's time to use the sword. Do you understand? Y'all, embrace the God of the universe. He loves you. He loves you. He's going to come back with his sword drawn, and he's going to slay his enemies, and people are going to go to hell. That's horrible. I'm not happy about that. I don't want a Muslim. I don't want a Muslim to go to hell. I want him to know God. He wants to know God, but he's stuck in religion. I want a Mormon to not be stuck in his religion. I want people to know God. I want the freedom that God brings. I want them to know the love. I want them to know the life. I want them to know the truth that God is and that God brings. I want them to have a relationship with the creator of the universe. I want some of us in our own churches and supposedly Bible-believing churches to realize for years you've been stuck in a religious traditional system that says you got to do it this way. And the real things of God don't change. I want you to experience the freedom of God. I want you to understand that making disciples starts with how you live, not what you do. And if you live right, if you have a right relationship with God, you'll live right. And if you have a right relationship with God, you'll do right things. And if you have a right relationship with God, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, you'll speak the word of God. You'll be in God's word, and you'll love the people of God and those who aren't the people of God, because God loves people who aren't his. He loves everybody. He loved Balaam, even though Balaam was a wicked, wretched dude who would never become saved. God knew that. So why didn't he kill him? Because he loves him. God loves you. May God bless you and keep you. May you know the God of this universe. Lord, help people to be saved. Help someone to know you. Lord, help build someone's inner man up, Lord. God, help build someone up, God. We are not swimming, Lord. And you threw us a rope to safety. God, we're dead and drowned already at the bottom of the sea. God, you have to resuscitate us. You have to dive to the lowest depths to get us, to resuscitate us and breathe air into our lungs and to make us breathe, Lord. Help us to live. God, help us to honor you, Lord God, for your glory, for your namesake. Don't let someone go to hell, God. Because you want this, Lord. Please use us to accomplish your purposes, Lord. And there's someone, Lord, right now, God, someone you have the sword drawn on right now, God. and you're ready to slay him, Lord. You're ready. God, give him another chance, God. Lord, give someone mercy, God, another chance, and help someone to be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.